an intuitive sense of this is the center. And some of the ancient scriptures say this is where your divine self abides. And to me, that's a vivid reality. And so what winds up happening in the work that has unfolded and in fact revealed itself by us paying attention, is that it's not, for instance, people may have heard, if you have some spiritual background, you may have heard of things like ego death, or you know, you've got to completely transcend the ego in order to awaken. In our view, it's more all of our parts kind of sign a peace treaty with each other, and the ego becomes porous, the soul, the individual soul becomes porous to that greater reality that is the ocean of all that is, we could say.
Digital Audio Health by Symetrax. Courting Your Soul with Rhonda Grant.
I'd like to welcome to the show today, all the way from California, is Samuel Bonder and Linda Gross Bonder. And it's so exciting to be in your company and resonate with your energy. Take us on the journey of how you met and how you ended up getting into spiritual awakening, not only yourselves, but helping others as well.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, Rhonda.
What a pleasure to be here with you today. Yeah. We so appreciate it.
Really.
Honor what you're doing in the world. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes. I can jump in real quick with my early history. I was raised Catholic in Muncie, Indiana. And a large family, five siblings. And as I graduated Ball State University, moved out of Muncie, moved to California, became a serious seeker at the time. Just kind of dabbled a lot through the years with spirituality and different expressions of spirit, practices, disciplines, these kinds of things. And I learned a lot, and I actually gained a lot of wisdom and a lot of depth from the things that I was hearing. But it wasn't completing something that I felt in what I would call my belly, the void in my belly. And I had an intuition that there was way something more for me than what I was doing. Eventually, I met this beautiful man, Samuel Bonder, in October of 1994. And so many things shifted for me. I was very much an eclectic seeker, and so many of those things fell away when I started sitting with Samuel and listening to his teachings and feeling his heart and his transmission and how he met everyone on an equal basis, one-on-one, you know, in his little apartment, and everybody's sitting on the floor and we're all engaging with him, and he had these amazing teachings. And I started to feel something shifting. I felt shifts before, but this was something that really was starting to unravel that place of the knot in my belly, where I felt like there was something that wasn't filled or realized. Eventually, I had a realization, and gosh, long story short, we became partners and teaching partners and married partners and best friends partners. And here we are today, almost 30 years later, me co-teaching with Samuel and living a life of service for others, which is so much my passion and so much Samuel's passion in our work, Waking Down in Mutuality. So that's a very concentrated response.
Beautiful.
Yeah, shall I go ahead and...
Yes.
That might be. And by the way, when we say a word like, for instance, sitting, it's another name for a meeting. I want to also add here that my commitment to meeting people from a place of equality, rather than being the teacher on high, I would literally sit on the floor also. just so that the architecture of the room wasn't communicating that I'm the grand poobah sitting on the pedestal, et cetera.
Right.
So how I got there, born in New York to first generation Jewish people. Grandparents had come over from Eastern Europe and probably Ukraine or Western Russia. When I was seven, we moved to a small, almost entirely Protestant southern town in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And that was where I, mostly grew up in my childhood and youth. Went to a school in Tennessee for my high school years, and eventually was able to go to Harvard. Arrived there, however, from this little tiny town and a even tinier village in Tennessee. Arrived in the tumult of the anti-war movement, the counterculture, drugs, you name it. So that was challenging in itself. I became a political activist in the anti-war movement, and actually almost got thrown out of college for it. But the next year I came back, all the wind had gone out of my sails for that. Because I felt that everybody on every side of all the issues, it seemed like we were all so self-absorbed that we weren't actually meeting each other. Mm-hmm. And nobody told me this. I just was an insider intuition that arose. And it prompted me to open up. And even though I'd been bar mitzvah, born Jewish, there was never any God at the center of my parents' Judaism. It was more the culture of being Jewish. And I say that respectfully. I appreciate how they got there also. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I had to find help somewhere to get out of what felt like this cage I was in. And like, okay, God, if you exist, help me out here. And it began happening, as you write in your book, synchronicities and so forth. And so that began a quest that eventually turned me to the East. I became interested in yoga and spirituality. I had some initial awakenings that blew to bits my plans for my career and so forth. I was one of the ones who just had to, I had a taste of whatever we might call it, enlightenment, whatever you want to call it. It was such a sublime revelation and so temporary. And I knew it was possible to stabilize this, and that became my quest. And long story short, after about 20 years with especially one powerful teacher and exposure to quite a number of others, I wound up actually feeling like trying to be a good disciple was no longer working. I lost some of the integrity that my family and my schooling had, made the priority of my life. It felt like I kind of wobbled off course. And so, curiously enough, that seemed to be just what the doctor ordered. And a stable awakening arose. And Linda used that word transmission, which, sounds like, what is this, in your car?
Yes.
But it's an inadequate word for simply broadcasting the energy and presence that you're living. And it turned out that this became kind of contagious for other people who began going through similar awakenings. Long story short, for these 30 plus years now, I, meeting wonderful people like Linda, who then quickly graduated from being students to being colleague teachers. Yes. And so we've helped, somewhere upwards of 1,000 people go through similar, to use language you were using, finding their own essence and really getting grounded in it in such a way that it's also the essence of reality that they're in touch with too.
Yes, yes.
So that went on a bit, but...
No, I love it. So, some people call these little micro awakenings, they call them shifts, but it's almost like, and, down through the history, they talk about the veil. And a lot of people don't realize that we really are blind to spiritual enlightenment and all of that until we have something that helps wake us up. But in the waking up, to remember who we are and why we came here, there's these little indications that there's more than just our physical body. And Linda, you said shift. So can you explain to the audience what that would feel like so they know what they're looking for?
Yes, yes. Thank you, Rhonda. Well, to use the word shift, yes, it is a shift in awareness and a shift in the fundamental place of how we are experienced and experiencing others. So in this particular work that Samuel founded many years ago, he would talk about how consciousness itself, or spirit, or being, presence, many, many words for that.
Yes.
It's not only a transcendental or an absolute realization of all that is connected, but it's very embodied. It's very in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's very experienced on every level of who we are. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned all of these smaller aha moments, perhaps, or shifts,
yes,
or mini awakenings. I like to say to the people that I work with, and Samuel as well, these are very important to really notice and bring awareness to these moments of something that does actually shift in your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll use an image like this, you know, here's your hand, and then all of a sudden it can go like this, and you just go, it can be that simple, you know, when something lands so fully. So I would encourage everyone as best they can, and nobody is doing it wrong or bad, you know.
Yes.
We're all on a journey in our own unique way. For them to be able to place their attention and their energy on some of these most subtle aha moments that a lot of times we negate. And we go, well, that doesn't matter because it's not the big awakening that I'm seeking or needing or feeling. But they are very, very important. They do lead to sometimes a fundamental realization of conscious embodiment. And that's what we're all about. We've been helping people for 3 decades now to realize these little mini aha moments and realizations that will lead eventually to more of a larger opening and shift in being or realization.
Sometimes we speak of it as an unshakable confidence in being.
Yes.
So
unshakable
confidence in being.
Unshakable confidence in being. Wow. Can you unpack what that really means?
We will try. And please
okay.
Keep It's challenging to put words on something that's...
I know. There's no language at some point, right? But if you could try and sort of let us know what that means.
Sure. So there's... One way to put it is how much of our human potential do we want to realize, do we want to fulfill? And part of our potential is to discover this, we could say, dimension of who we are that is always it's simply being.
Yes.
Like the part of us, we'll use the word am, A-M, I am.
Yes.
It's the part that's amming us all the time.
Yeah.
And so there are ways, part of what we've done is kind of radically innovate to help people not get caught up in self-blame and trying to beat up one part of themselves so they can get to another one that they don't have yet. So much, you asked, or you mentioned earlier, before we started recording, that word we use, green lighting.
Yes.
And that's one of the ways people can get at this unshakable confidence in being is by learning how to green light, which is It's more than simply acceptance. It's in some ways, it's an embrace even of the parts of ourselves that seem to be the enemies of our spirituality. Giving yourself permission to really, really be with, for instance, your anger, mm-hmm. or your really low self-worth. So there are ways in which we can coach people, and by the way, you know, people can get some of the teachings on this from our website, and we have books, courses, and all that. But it's really a process of getting in touch with that deeper part that is sometimes obvious in these shifts. Mm-hmm. And rather than try to perpetuate a shift, it's just making room for all of our parts to be, in effect, integrated. And as that occurs, there's a deepening of our intuition of who we are that eventually reveals itself as this unshakable confidence in being. We call it unshakable joy, a joy that somehow, or peace, wisdom, presence, that is always here, even in the toughest times. Mm-hmm. And so it can be coincident with what seems to be the opposite of joy,
right,
or confidence in being.
Yeah, there's a story that I'd love to share with you and everyone.
Yes,
that
please.
Happened 2 days ago, we were working with a new client, and she was talking about this level in herself that feels unworthy. And it's a deeply rooted, patterned way of thinking that she has encountered most of her life, if not all of her life. Mm-hmm. So she was describing to us how she started looking at this place that is this repetitive pattern. And she starts to describe a level of just an organic green lighting of her feeling it and then going toward it instead of retreating from it, which is common. We all do that. We don't want to have to go back into the pain or, you know, a familiar place over and over again. And she actually used the phrase getting sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, from 12-step programs, right? And I've used many people in the past. And so she actually went into a process that that was revealed to me many, many years ago, and it's called 6-step recognition yoga. Mm-hmm. And it is a process of recognition in a moment, and it can happen so spontaneously and so rapidly in a moment. And the 6 steps are see it, feel it, live it, be it, transcend it in place, and speak it all along the way at appropriate moments. This woman, she told us this story as she had been studying our work and reading Samuel's books and really diving into our website. She said she had a different experience of what she called this black ball of unworthiness. And she said, I don't know, but for some reason, instead of retreating from it, I allowed myself, green lighting, to just go into it and be it. And so that's the living and being of the 6 steps. You see it, you know what the problem is or the issue that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. See it, feel it, you allow your whole being to really feel it, you know, to just go in there and be it. Live it, be it, animate it, go toward it. And then what mysteriously happens around it is there's a transcendence of the effect. And so this is such a powerful thing that people really experience spontaneously so much as they realize there's something missing and they want mutuality, you know, which is, so they want help. They want to engage in relationships and then have these recognitions unfold so that it deepens their presence here.
Mm-hmm. Can I add a little bit onto that? Or
yes.
Thank you. That's beautiful. And by the way, I have this long history of getting acquainted with all the esoteric technicalities of many different traditions in the Eastern, Middle East and all that. Mm-hmm. And Linda's path was, you know, didn't have all that overload of information. when she first experienced this six-step process, which, you know, you could say more about it, but essentially it happened like in a dream reverie as she was waking up from a nap. It was on billboards or neon signs.
Yes.
And she told me about it. I almost cracked up laughing at the beauty of it.
Yes. The simplicity.
Exactly.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I could have worked on trying to boil that out of how this thing works for weeks. And talk about a shift. It just came to the moment. And the thing about it is that giving yourself permission to not retract from, to not dissociate, to not even try to be observing it from a nice distance, but making sure you're not really feeling it. Because these seem to be the enemy of our growth, of our spiritual progress, you know, whether it's traumatized places in ourselves or habit patterns of either anger or implosion. So there's a beautiful image that she also uses that I think can be helpful. I mean, it's actually helpful to me. And that is what happens in that transcendence. You don't go to an altered state. Right. Or you're not trying to. You might wind up having that happen.
Yes.
But actually being right there with it. But Linda says it's as if a chokehold is being released.
Released, and there's a relaxation.
So another way to talk about what happens when a chokehold is released is you can take a breath there.
Yes.
You can take a breath.
Yes.
And you can begin then to sense. One of the favorite questions we ask people sometimes is, okay, what when you were in that, did you lose that deeper ground of your sense of who you are? And especially as people are undergoing this process, this waking down, this landing here bodily,
right?
As an in that confidence, more and more they're able to say, actually, no, you know, it was always right here. And when that's first opening up for people, they'll say things like, you know, I'm still feeling, well, their actual language, we won't, you know, it's all those little squiggles and dots.
Yes.
I'm still feeling like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's lousy. But there's this okayness. Mm-hmm. There's this okayness. And, you know, I don't go through the bad stuff to get to the okayness. It's like they're right here.
Yes, yes.
With each other. And this is one of the secrets of embodied spiritual awakening.
Yes.
The more you get that life is a paradox. Mm-hmm. There's always both sides to things. And so there's so many paradoxes of both and.
But
the light shines more and more brightly.
Yes.
As we release, relax, deepen, and grow. Yeah.
Sun in your heart is rising.
Yes.
We have that phrase that really sings to so many people's hearts, you know, and it really, really resonates so much with me. Mm. You know, the sun in your heart is rising. And some people say, what does that mean? But then they start to experience it.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, to some people, and to me as well, I mean, some things are just words. Where is the connection? And one of the things that I've been curious about my own walk is that when I had that T-bone accident, for 2 weeks when I was recovering, I really felt that I was in an altered state. And I wrote that down because that's really different. And I think, and during that altered state was when I began to write. Mm-hmm. And that altered state lasted for a couple of weeks and it started to dim away, but I still wrote. But it was like the shock and the recovery of being stopped in your tracks, right? Uh-huh. and the shock to the body, you know, all the bruising. But, you know, because I experienced that, I remembered how I felt in my brain and that altered state. It's almost a kind of above your brain, right? It's kind of above your head. Uh-huh. And I find my best writing today is when I wake up in the morning and that is how I'm feeling. I get a glimpse of that altered state. The first thing I do is grab a piece of paper because I think something really good is going to come through here. And I think that even people who may be on the journey, starting their journey, that would be beneficial for them to know these things.
Yes.
Because when you're all alone, and I did a lot of my journey on my own, figured things out on mm-hmm. my own, and it was the way I wanted to anyway. I could have reached out to people, but I just wanted to experience at the pace that was good for me, because sometimes it can be too much too soon. It can be too quick, right? It can be too quick. And it seems to me that you are so articulate, very careful, that you're giving information to people to help them recognize why they're here, and respecting that everybody is at a different level of their conscious awareness. So talk to me about this. What about the person right now who is starting to wake up a little bit? They don't know who they should talk to or to get more information because they really feel that their circle of friends and their family are not going to really embrace this with open arms. They're just going to, you know, you just feel that you can't talk to them, right? So I just a little bit to your website, but I just want you to go back there again to your website and just let people know where in your website that they could go to if they were just starting on this journey.
Thank you so much.
I think it's just a perfect time to do this.
Thank you. Well, SanielandLinda.com is our website, and that's Saniel, Daniel, only with an S, SanielandLinda.com. And so you can tell them more about some of the pages that would be really helpful for people.
Yeah. First, I just want to thank you for bringing this up and welcoming us to talk to those for whom all of this is kind of new.
Yes. We love that.
You know, it's so important to meet people where they are.
Yes.
So one of the things that we're really most excited about at this point in our work is that we have a particular approach to all of this that speaks naturally to things that people can readily identify with. So if you go to the website, the headline there is Maximize Your Joy in Your Life, Work, Relationships, and World. It's not just your own internal, but how to be here in such a way that we're all benefiting as best we can.
Yes.
And at the bottom of the homepage, people can opt in, register in effect, to listen to or watch a talk we gave that we created some years ago around or as an introduction to a course called Maximizing Joy.
Yes.
And the talk is titled The Two Kinds of Joy and Why It's Totally Okay for You to Maximize Both. So one kind is the temporary joys that come and go in our daily living. Mm-hmm. And you can't make them stick any longer than they're gonna, although it's certainly worth trying. You know, we're not saying give up all the ordinary pleasures so now you can be spiritual.
Yeah.
No, we're not asking people to pit themselves one part against another. But we're also acknowledging that there is this potential for unlosable, unshakable joy. That is finding a deeper foundation in yourself for your sense of who you are. And if people then go forward, we have a, there's a kind of a sample session of this 8-session course. Mm-hmm. And we, each of the sessions of the course, Maximizing Joy, we interview another teacher or thought leader, their approach. There's an enormous amount of very practical things people can put to use right away, mm-hmm. including Linda's 6-step recognition yoga, yes. but also other things that other teachers and traditions and schools. Mm-hmm. So it's not just our stuff, mm-hmm. but it's certainly focused around our teachings and so on. Mm-hmm. And so the mini course or the full 8-session course are definitely good ways to plug in, especially if you're beginning all this and you're looking for good information. You're not in a place of wanting to commit to a particular approach, or you might be open to that.
Yes.
But in our work, it became so important to us. You know, one of the things that we, again, I quote Linda, she has these pithy statements. Years ago, she said, we're not just here to talk to, in effect, the grizzled veteran meditator seekers. Yes, we help them. Many of them are the ones who've gone through this awakening process. Mm-hmm. But we want to reach and touch the hungry or hurting hearts. Mm-hmm. And there's no stigma in being hungry, mm-hmm. for more, for mm-hmm. different, for opening up. And there's no necessity, if awakening doesn't ring bells for you, well, let's talk about just lightening and brightening your daily life. So you'll see a lot of that kind of language on our website.
Yeah. And by the way, I was one of those grizzled seekers. Hope that doesn't, you know, resonate in a negative way to people.
No. Oh, no. You know, I wrote down the word hungry.
Yes.
And you just said it there, Daniel. Is that when people, or when a person, and I think of my own experience, when you get a taste of enlightenment and actually grounding and feeling your body, where a lot of people are out of their bodies, they don't even know their energy is out of their bodies or they're out of their bodies. And when you begin the path, you become very, very hungry, hungry for more and more and more and more. So speak to us about that, like a little bit about, because people say, well, where do I begin? Some people are like, I need to begin. And then others are sort of on their journey and they know there's more, but they really don't know the next step, you know? And I say to people, like, I don't recommend a near-death experience to get you there because you know what I mean? And because I stayed at the same place for a long time, because although my soul was after me to step into the true essence of who I was, when I finally got there and I started paying attention and started listening and started to write my book, I was happy and content where I was. And I really thought that was my ceiling. I thought that was it. Like I'm here. Like I'm an enlightened being. But then the years start to go by and I thought, I know there's more, but I don't know how to get to more. And so can you talk a little bit about sort of the different steps that people can accomplish in this journey? Because sometimes we think we're at a level that there's no other place to go, but oh boy, there is, isn't there?
Yes. There's always more, isn't there?
Yes.
After a profound awakening, we're constantly growing, evolving, integrating what we've realized, and integrating and learning from others. And that's the richness of weight down in mutuality, to use our three words. The mutuality factor is extremely important for those individuals who are feeling like they don't know what next step to take, or what next course to take, or these sorts of things. And one of the ways that we work with people is to really, really, as Daniel mentioned earlier, we meet them exactly where they are, and we ask questions. And we are all over their history. You know, if they need to iterate some of the places and paths that they've experienced that might actually have informed them in a way that could have possibly created a chokehold where they can't break through it because they're conditioning there, perhaps. And so we listen, we hold them, we ask them questions, and we make suggestions along the way for things for them to do or not do, because that's a discipline in its own right. Mm-hmm. They're not doing, and to be able to develop the discernment to know when your heart is saying, I really want to dive into this course or this book or have another session with Samuel and Linda or whatever it might be, or feel into and take a breath and bring your attention and awareness to your body and to your heart. Sometimes I invite people to just literally hold their heart with their hands and close their eyes and take some deep breaths and focus on how the body is communicating. A lot of times we jump into our heads and logically we want to make sense of what the mind is saying. This is what you should do.
Yes.
Also, take a breath. Notice that. That's not wrong. Feel the wisdom of what the body is communicating. So all of these are simple practices and sometimes not so simple for some. You know, you help people a lot with different practices and awareness, bringing focus and awareness to the body and to their spirit. So it's important.
I'd like to kind of boil it down in terms of practical response to your question, at least with respect to how we might be of help to, you know, one of the people, one of you folks who are listening, who are wondering, well, what do I do? We definitely recommend go to our website and opt in so that you can hear that or watch that talk, The Two Kinds of Joy, and why it's totally okay if you maximize both.
Yes.
We keep getting really good feedback about that. And
yes.
And then, you know, see where you want to go from there. And certainly, at least at this stage of our work, you know, we would love to hear from people personally. So you can write to us at info@samuelandlinda.com and just say, I'd like to book a discovery session.
Yes.
And, you know, we really want people to understand, we're not going to try to twist your arm.
Yes.
To get you to plug in to doing some kind of work with us.
Yes.
Or are we going to tell you, well, you know, you should really be seeking awakening instead of just wanting a little more lightness in your daily life or a little information to take next steps. So we can recommend possible things that we can offer, but also other places where they might go. Someone might be, for instance, have a deep religious faith, whatever the religion, but they may have felt that they're not getting the more nourishing food that they need from, you know, going to the regular services or whatever. Well, we might be able to recommend, you know, there's this teacher in your faith tradition who is such a wonderful spiritual being and can help you plug in deeper. So we love to talk to people. Very simply, don't be afraid to contact us, and we guarantee you we're not going to be twisting your arm.
Yes.
Every session is a free session.
It's free.
So. And it's a free session. So what a beautiful way, what a gentle way and introduction to what the journey could be like for people.
Just quickly, one other thing. If they go to our events page, we have a couple of events we do at least once
a month. Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
They're open to the public, and we deeply welcome new people to come join us. One is called a virtual heart gathering. The other is a longer meditation that I lead. But the virtual heart gathering has a short meditation and conversation. We welcome people to speak and participate. And there's also a practice we do that we call it gazing, which a lot of people are in touch with these days. It's you know, it's very natural to us humans. We're people we love and trust. But the simple meeting one another through the eyes, being to be, heart to heart, is a way of sharing these energies that is uplifting for people.
It's uplifting. Beautiful. Beautiful. You're listening to the Rhonda Grant Show right now, whose podcast has been treated with digital audio health by my sponsor, Symetrex. And I am so enjoying my conversation with Samuel Bonder and Linda Gross Bonder. And you've already let the audience know how they may reach out to you, which I'm really glad, because I'm sure they were waiting to find out how they can learn more. And those are just starting their spiritual journey. And those who are on their spiritual journey and just want more information. What extraordinary discovery have you found, each of you, in your life?
Ah, wow.
I know it's a difficult question because, you know, and you don't have to find out the one. If you could just give us one, that would be great. Wow. Yes.
Well, I think the primary one for me is my awakening that happened in 1996. And as I had mentioned earlier, I was a very eclectic seeker and always feeling like something was missing and not full. You know, my being wasn't full. I didn't have a trajectory that felt like my path. And then meeting Samuel and working with Samuel and being with the rest of the group, this realization landed. And first I had somewhat of a witness awakening. And then 9 months later, I had what we call the second birth awakening, and that is conscious embodiment. That is being aware and awake as consciousness, but fully embodied with every aspect of who I am. So that was the shift, the transition, the realization of my totality identity, which is the way we like to describe it. Mm-hmm. And in that shift, in that realization, everything changed in a moment for me. And sometimes people have the awakening, but we say they ooze into the awakening. I had a form of oozing, but the fundamental shift of conscious embodiment in second birth was in a meditation, clearly landed in every part of who I am. So that informed me. From that moment on, it informed me that I am now realizing and recognizing and remembering. You mentioned that word, remembering. I remembered who I am here, and who I am connected to all things and all beings. And I mean, I'm talking about it.
I know, I'm getting goosebumps.
Seriously, my body is going, yes. So that is my experience. And ever since then, 2 months after my awakening, I had to find ways to help others. I was integrating. I continue to integrate what I realized, what I live with my beautiful partner, Samuel. And I'm hungry to be able to serve. Oh, now I feel tears.
Beautiful.
To be able to serve individuals who feel, you know, like they're looking for something more, you know. And yes. So that's my heart.
Oh, so. Yes. I felt that. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You know, to put this... you know, what do you mean, second birth, conscious embodiment? I mean... Again, it's hard to find the words. One way to describe it that's really simple is that you feel at home in your own skin in ways you never imagined were possible. You're just here. And I remember one guy said to me, in terms of that sense of not being separate from everyone and everything, he said to me, I'm just here. And there's no there. In other words, fundamental boundary. And it doesn't mean that other things and beings are all kind of in a homogeneous soup or something. In fact, in some ways, the differences stand out more. Like you mentioned, people starting to go through changes and feeling like, I don't think I can talk to my family about this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, different kinds of pressures arise. But another way to speak of it is that there's a central sense of pressurelessness at the core of our being that enables us to be much more resilient amidst all the pressures that are coming at us. So I just wanted to add that in terms of me, primary discovery is, I mean, it's hard for me to even say I discovered it. It's more like it discovered me.
Yes, right? That's what it's like.
Yes, thank you. And there's a particular revelation that came, mm-hmm. place in the heart that mm-hmm. actually is physically, mm-hmm. anatomically, the source of the heartbeat. And it's over on the right side of the heart, mm-hmm. rather than in the center. Some people, you know, have heard the term chakras and so forth. It's not a chakra like in yoga. It's the source of the heartbeat, mm-hmm. and it's also there's an intuitive sense of this is the center. Mm-hmm. And some of the ancient scriptures say this is where your divine self abides. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a vivid reality. Mm. And so what winds up happening in the work that has unfolded and in effect revealed itself by us paying attention, mm-hmm. is that it's not, for instance, people may have heard, if you have some spiritual background, you may have heard of things like ego death, or you know, you've got to completely transcend the ego in order to awaken.
Yeah.
Our view, it's more all of our parts kind of sign a peace treaty with each other, and the ego becomes porous, the soul, the individual soul becomes porous to mm-hmm. that greater reality that is the ocean of all that is, we could say. Mm-hmm. We remain the wave, the individual wave, and that individuation is important. It's not a hindrance.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Do you feel that you've been called or crafted your journey or a bit of both?
Definitely both. It's one of the very big both ends.
Yes, yes.
And really, you know, the calling is, you know, in terms of finding purpose, there's a level of it that's thrilling and wouldn't trade it in for anything. Mm-hmm. And was it Linda wrote me out a quote one day from St. Thomas Aquinas?
Yes.
Something like, if a man of God, you know, men, so if a person, a person of God isn't in trouble, they're not doing their work. Meaning your calling is going to take you up against one boundary after another.
Yeah.
And finding out which cliffs you've got to jump off and which, no, that's not actually mine. An important discernment.
Exactly. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about or share that I haven't asked you, but you would like the opportunity to do so?
Well, thank you. There is a word that I wanted to bring in a while back, and that is simultaneity.
Yes, I saw that. What does that mean?
Yes, it's so interesting because a lot of the people that we work with and actually have a realization in this work, they're confused about what we mean initially about it until they realize it. And the simultaneity of being, and it's such a paradox and it's such a mystery, but how can, hence the paradox, how can one be so fully embodied in your humanness and what we like to say is divinely human being?
Yeah.
How can you be, you know, just all of your stuff and everything and simultaneously be this absolute conscious nature existing as that on a cellular level? How can that possibly be?
Mm-hmm.
But that simultaneity is the real aspect and experience that people feel after this fundamental realization of being. They realize that even in their humanness, their divinely humanness, ego, personality traits, everything, the ups and downs of living, relationships, all of that is consciousness itself, is being, is presence, is that divinely beautiful connection that we all share in and as the heart. So I just wanted to bring that in, that simultaneity.
Beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. Another thing that, thank you for asking, that I'd like to bring in is more and more over the years, as all this has refined and continued to evolve, and it really keeps evolving, I had this intuition way back at the beginning when I started, but it's so pronounced now. And that is one of the ways we describe it. We speak of the ultimate reality or the divine, the infinite. Our term for it is the heart, with a capital H, however.
Oh, yes.
Implying the inclusive heart that is all of these parts. Sometimes we even spell it with smaller caps, EART, just to make it visually apparent that we're pointing to something more inclusive. And one of the ways we describe it is this one great heart that we all share in equal fullness. So in other words, it's not just that each of us is something like a spark of the divine. Somehow we are the whole thing. A little hologram, if you will. That one great heart is coming alive and awake in, as, and through everybody and all of us together. And there's a, it's almost like it's rhizomatic, like, you know, mushrooms suddenly popping up all over on the forest floor. And so, you know, and you refer to this, you know, very vividly on your website. You talk about not only the little individual shifts, but the massive shift in human consciousness that's underway.
Yes.
One of my mentors said to me, all hands on deck, said to us all. And in effect, we're all being called to service and welcome to craft our own participation.
Beautiful.
So there's something inexorable about this, and it's also part of, I feel, necessary for us to state, yes, things look terrible. Yes, a lot of stuff is terrible. Humanity is under such challenges and threats of all kinds.
Oh, yes.
But it's almost as if that's like a boil of everything in us that's needing to be purified, getting lanced. And great purification's underway. This greater nature cannot be stopped.
Yes.
It will continue to take root in more and more of us and reveal itself. And over the long haul, I feel the picture is very bright, whatever we have to go through.
Yes, beautiful. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk to the audience about?
Well, yeah.
Samuel?
We'd like to give a message, and I think, why don't you go first?
Yeah. Thank you, Rhonda, so much.
My pleasure.
What a complete blessing to be with you today. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to say hello and to send out a huge thank you and send many blessings to all of you who are watching and listening and partaking in all of Rhonda's podcasts, and in particular this one today.
Yes.
And what a great pleasure it has been to be with you and to share some of the, you know, the kernels of heart and give a little bit of our gifts to you in this podcast so beautifully invited by Rhonda for us to share. And what I'd like to say to all of you is that if you feel the need and the urge and the impulse to reach out to us, we have info@sanyalandlinda.com. That's where you can write to us directly. And that's on our website, which is sanyalandlinda.com. And I want to just encourage everyone to live in your heart as best you can. Mm-hmm. Know that you individually and in your relationships with your family, friends, coworkers, whoever, you have gifts to give. And it can show up as simple as what Rhonda and Samuel and I were talking about earlier before we recorded. Simple things as just saying hello to someone in the market, you know, or just being yourself and giving your positive, beautiful self to others and finding your ways and means of that gift to give and to land more fully in and as yourself in this beautiful life of being. So be it. And I send you lots of love.
Yeah, so
beautiful. Thank you, Linda. Beautiful.
Thank you.
One other thing that I want to draw people's attention to, and then I'd like to offer a message. We're in the early years of what we call a 10-year vision. And if you go to the vision page of our website, you'll see that described. It's called A Million Hearts Illumined, 10-year vision. A million hearts illumined, 1,000 hearts awakened in this profound way, at least. And 100 hearts full on serving as what we call heart activators. So that's a little more information.
Yes.
In terms of the message, I'm so grateful to you, whoever you are who's listening or doing this. I'm so grateful to you, and also, of course, to you, Rhonda, for making this opportunity possible.
Thank you.
The fact that you're here paying attention to something like this is an indication of the greatness of your being. And you may feel anything but great right now. You may be undergoing severe crisis in just being here. It's not easy to be alive on this planet. Not for anyone. But you are that greater nature coming alive in, as, and through this precious human body being person that you are. And with all our hearts, we bless you, we honor you. We don't, no matter how inferior or unworthy you may feel, all of that is your greater nature becoming aware of how hard it is to be here. And keep taking whatever next step you can. And please know that you have great destiny, great potential. And like Rhonda, and however we can serve that, we'd be honored and privileged.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being my guest on my show. I've enlightened just being in your presence. You have beautiful energy. Feel your heart. And I'd like to have you back on the show to discuss more of helping others reach their true potential as the soul being that they are. So thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Rhonda, for that invitation. Yes. We would love to come back. Yes.
Just Linda started her message, and again, when you just spoke that invitation, about half a dozen birds landed in the bush.
Oh, you're kidding.
Twice.
Wow.
Yes.
Good signs, as you talk
auspicious.
About.
Good signs.
Blessings to you, Rhonda.
Thank you. And to you too.
Much love.
Thank you for listening. Theme song for Courting Your Soul is Sun on the Water, composed and performed by John Park Wheeler.